Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, June the 17th. And our top story today is that seven people have been arrested after protesters stormed a Kent factory that's used to make equipment for the Israeli military. Video footage at Kent Online shows people from Palestine Action breaking into the Instro Precision site in Sandwich and smashing computers and machinery.
For Israel to target the Palestinians. Well, we're not having it today.
The group say they want to stop the genocide in Gaza. Well, we've been in contact with Instro Precision for a comment. Meantime, police have told Kent Online they were called to Discovery Park just before 3:30 this morning. At the time of recording today's podcast, officers were still at the scene and those who've been detained are being held on suspicion of aggravated burglary.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And a child's been flown to a London hospital after falling out of a window near Gillingham. Emergency crews were called to Goudhurst Road in Twiddle yesterday. It's understood the girl fell from her bedroom window, but it's unclear how badly she's injured. A suspect's been charged with murder after the death of a man in his 40s who was allegedly attacked in Thanet. He was taken to hospital after police were called to Station Road in Birchington in March and passed away the following month. A 31-year-old from Park Avenue in the town is due at Crown Court tomorrow. A court's heard how a mum and her two children were forced to flee their home near Canterbury after her ex-partner threatened to kill her. Thomas Hunt had already been convicted of assault and stalking when he turned up at the property in Surrey last October. The 43-year-old from Pope's Lane has been jailed for 4 years. A man's been ordered to pay compensation after smashing the windscreen of a car that turned around on his driveway. A woman pulled her Toyota onto the driveway in Tunbridge last October while collecting her son, who'd been studying nearby. 60-year-old Derek Willard from Three Elm Lane admitted criminal damage. Now, as we mark Refugee Week, a woman who came to Kent from Eritrea is urging politicians not to treat asylum seekers as criminals. Rishan Sagai was just 17 when she made the dangerous journey through Sudan, Libya and mainland Europe. She's now training to become a nurse in the UK and wants whoever wins the election next month to change the public's attitude. Well, Rishan is a media ambassador at the Kent Refugee Action Network and he's calling for safe and legal routes for asylum seekers.
The media always presents refugee as criminal rather than what the contribution they do. And we've got lots of young people here, like being in university. I myself, hopefully my last year of doing adult nursing, and I'll be finishing by July, and I really want to work with the NHS, and because now I understand more that there's so many strict on around what happening and there's less stuff and so on and on. But I guess is refugees not being presented as enough of what they do, like in terms of contribution to the society, in terms of what they have in potential for them to what they provide. And it's always that's upset me in a way, that because I'm not here to be a problem. I'm here to solve the problem. I'm here to be part of this society and fix what has been done in terms of other things that is being now. Like we go into the election. There are so many things people like they really want to vote for someone to fix this, all the taxes, housing and issues, so many things that was going on here. But I guess as a refugee, I want to be part of that to find a solution of what things can be done rather than just I'm being presented as a problem. And even the way that is being presented as a refugee, the only solving problem is if they're gone. And that's, I think, is like a negative narrative is being presented to the public, whereas hasn't been shown the full image of what refugees like, rather than just picking on one side and presenting that side. And I feel like it's unfair for people, for the public themselves, because they're not having that full image of what things is around it. And being as a student nurse, I always like I do practice at a hospital, and I get to meet the obviously family patient asking me where I am, and I'm always open about my story. If somebody wants obviously to ask, I'm happy to talk about it, because I've never been ashamed of that. And they shocked by the how like my story is, and I always say to them, not just me, there's other young people, there are other people, lots of them, they come in. And obviously I get one of them will be like, oh, negative in a way of say, you've got so much money to come to here. And I was like, nope, I didn't have that much money. Otherwise, I would stay in a safer place if I have that money. But then you've got another side would say, oh, thank you for being here. Like, thank you. Oh, this we've got less of stuff. Thank you for you want to be a nurse and you want to like to help other people. And I'm like, yes, that's the idea. And I'm happy for anyone, either negative or negative side or positive side, as long as they get awareness of what refugees like, rather than just one side has been presented. So I guess yeah, it would be unfair for any person, not just refugee, if somebody hears about you, you want to be yourself telling that story from your side rather than other people telling your story. We hear the loss of a illegal, but I guess this is what draws people to think of people that are like refugee, they are criminal, rather than they are people who are seeking safety and they are who people has got life where they used to live there in their home country, but because this has been taken from them. There's so many waiting lists now, people that are waiting from the Home Office to send their interview in order to get their status. And that waiting is impact the whole thing, because you don't have your status, you're not able to work. You're not working, you're not getting your education done, and you're not getting your housing done, you're not getting anything that is being done. We part of this public, we part of this society. I'm always presented as a negative, as a criminal, as someone like who always an image of I'm taking rather than I'm also like contributing to the society.
Meantime, a fuel campaigner who's hoping to be the next MP in Dover and Deal has been speaking about the issues he's hearing on the doorstep. Howard Cox set up Fair Fuel UK and ran for London Mayor in the most recent election. He's been speaking on the Kent Politics podcast.
Most people are really fed up with the Labour and they're fed up with Tories. That's as simple as the two-party system. A lot of them are saying, I can't see much difference between the two. We could argue about semantics of their manifestos. I've been listening to today's one, various things that are coming out on the airways. Fundamentally, all we're hearing about is actually what they're going to do and spend, and why the Tories particularly haven't done it for the last 14 years. Beggars belief. This is an important thing to get across to your listeners. I voted Tory for the last 50 years. I'm 70 this year. And I voted Tory for the last 50 years and I feel betrayed. And that's one reason, another reason why I'm standing. And as far as Labour is concerned, you know, they are so anti-car, anti-motorist. They're going to put up, they deny they're going to put up certain taxes, but they haven't absolutely firmly said they're not going to put up fuel duty and various other things like that. One of the biggest things, when I ask anyone on the doorstep or walking through the high street, walking to talk to small business, what's the biggest issues? And there's two or three of them, but at the top of it is immigration. And they don't want, the town, Dover, and don't forget, Dover and Deal, it's got Warmer, we've got St Margaret's Bay, there's loads of, and lots of lovely villages inland, etc. It's not just Dover. I sometimes think people think that's all we talk about is Dover. But fundamentally, what people are saying to me is they can't take any more of people coming in. The message I'm getting across is that we can do this in certain seats. My prediction is that I think 4 to 5 seats across the country. I don't know whether one of them, I want it to be Dover and Deal, and I'm going to be busting my butt off to try and achieve that. We're only 22 days away. Mm. And there's no doubt about it. Rishi Sunak did wrong for all of us. We didn't expect that to happen. And we're contesting over 600 seats across the whole of the UK, which is great news to do that. And you think, you know, £500 deposit, 600 times 5, that's £300,000. You know, you're looking at, those are the sorts of things. So we had to raise money. But we're serious about being, it is a journey. It's a journey to 2029. Labour are going to win by default. They don't have to do anything. You've heard of the Ming Vase story, where Starmer can just walk around with Ming Vase, provided he doesn't drop it. Yeah. He's going to be okay. The thing is, there are certain seats, and Dover and Deal is a target seat for Reform UK that we believe we can turn it around, not just Clacton.
You can hear that episode in full by searching for the Kent Politics podcast wherever you get your pods. Well, Howard is standing against Labour's Mike Tapp, Stephen James from the Conservatives, Penelope James from the Liberal Democrats, Christine Oliver of the Green Party, Steve Laws, who's standing for the English Democrats, Sylvia Peterson from the Heritage Party, Colin Tasker of the Workers' Party, Ash Payne, Geoffrey Lima and Chris Tuff are all independent candidates. And the first of two hustings that'll be live streamed on Kent Online take place tonight. Free tickets have been made available for the event in the Pilkington building at the University counties of Medway. Candidates for the Rochester and Strode constituency will be questioned first, starting at 5:45. After an hour, it'll be the turn of candidates for Gillingham and Raynham to face the voters before the final session at 8:15 for the Chatham and Aylesford seat. Now, if you can't make it, you can watch, as I mentioned, on the website. Plus, we'll have reaction in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM, tomorrow morning.
Kent Online reports.
Two people have been injured in a serious crash between a car and motorbike on the M2 near Faversham. Firefighters were called after the bike caught alight between junctions 5 and 6 yesterday. The motorway was blocked for around 2 hours. The people were looked after by paramedics. Meantime, a motorcyclist has been left seriously injured after a crash in Rochester. The bike he was riding collided with a car on Maidstone Road near the junction with the Tideway in the early hours of this morning. He's been taken to a London hospital for treatment. And a man's been arrested after a car crashed into a house in Sheerness. Firefighters cordoned off part of Broad Street on Saturday as the property was left badly damaged. A 57-year-old's been questioned on suspicion of dangerous driving. This is one of our most read stories today. If you head to Kent Online or follow us on socials, you can see footage of a refuse collector who's been caught tipping separated food waste into a wheelie bin. It was filmed on a camera outside homes near Lewes Road in Maidstone, which has already been suffering from missed bin collections in recent months. Now we're told the video is being investigated after anger from residents. Kent Online's been told a service designed to ease pressure on GPs is leaving pharmacists at breaking point. It launched in January and means people suffering from 7 common illnesses can get treatment at a pharmacy. Well, it's already saved thousands of hours of GP time, but Amish Patel, who owns Hodgson Pharmacy in Longfield, says it's not all good news. Amish has been speaking to our reporter, Joe Crosley.
The NHS Pharmacy First Service is definitely a great initiative. It frees up GP appointments and GPs can refer patients directly to the pharmacy to be seen. It's also a great way for us to triage patients in a way. So if we can't treat them, we can escalate it back to the GP in a timely manner. However, it definitely has its shortfalls, and that is it is severely underfunded. So while it's a great service, I can currently make a loss every time I'm delivering it each month. And I will be deciding whether I continue with the service or whether I have to pull it all together.
You mentioned that loss. How much roughly or do you lose a month or other pharmacies around that you know?
Yeah, so the pharmacies are already overstretched with the current essential service we do with regards to sourcing of medication, supplying medication and giving advice in general. So I've had to actually employ another pharmacist to help me manage the Pharmacy First service because I don't have the time to do it at all. Now that comes at a cost. Now, if I don't receive enough referrals or if enough people don't come through the door, I can't cover his wage that I'm currently laying out. And I am not covering that at present. Last month, we did over 150 consultations for Pharmacy First, which is a great, significant number. Yet, it won't have covered his salary.
I guess that's sort of leading on to my next question is, can pharmacies actually handle this new initiative?
Yeah, I think it comes down to appropriate funding. With the right funding, pharmacists can definitely help the NHS more. But our core funding is like at £1 billion deficit at present, and that needs sorting out first. Then we can talk about doing these great new services and helping out GPs and the primary care network in general. The primary bulk of our funding comes from dispensing of medication. And currently we dispense significant medications at a loss. I can think of one diabetic drug, which I dispense a couple hundred packets a month. And those couple hundred packets, each packet, I make a £2 loss per packet, which means that all these new initiatives that we're doing and the new service that we deliver, one, we're partly making a loss to deliver that service while we hope that GPs, you know, take them on board and refer people on and so on. But equally, I'm making a loss on the essential service as well. So again, this the network is so fragile and at a breaking point, and it really needs looking at as soon as possible. This is a common antibiotic, particularly for kids, and you'll see all out of stock. Can't get it for love of money. Yet, you know, this is a kid. If you've got a kid with an antibiotic that needs this antibiotic, what are you going to do? And this is another big issue. The drug shortages are just at another level at the moment, completely at another level. We spend so much time trying to source drugs. At the end of the day, I don't get paid unless I give you the medication. It's as simple as that. So when patients are coming in and getting so angry, so upset, believe me, we're doing our best to find it. But such common drugs can't get them at all.
The future of the Pharmacy First service will be decided by the next government.
Kent Online reports.
A Canterbury man says he's worried his house could collapse after being hit by vehicles three times in just 18 months. GP Tom Nichols says it could put lives at risk as the building is right on the carriageway on Old Dover Road. Most recently, he was hit by a bus last Monday. He's calling for improvements to road safety. Thousands has been raised for Adil Mum, who was diagnosed with ovarian cancer on a World Awareness Day about the disease. 32-year-old Emily Flood had been suffering from bloating, stomach and back pain, tiredness and a loss of appetite. The mum now faces 5 months of chemo and has set up an Insta page to share her story. £3 million plans to do up an arcade on Sheppey have been turned down. Bosses at Jimmy G's on the promenade in Laysdown wanted to add adventure golf, augmented reality darts and a soft play area. But council bosses have rejected the idea as the building would have overshadowed a home backing onto the site. Staying with planning news, some plans have been put in to convert a former care home in Folkestone into a so-called HMO. Developers say up to 24 people could move into Pelham House, but that's led to concerns about parking. It's feared it could also set a precedent for more applications for hostels and Airbnbs in the area. Now, a former Gurkha soldier from Canterbury who lost both of his legs while serving in Afghanistan has been given an MBE in the King's Birthday Honours. Harry Budamagar became the first double above the knee amputee to climb Mount Everest. He's been recognised for services to disability awareness and has been speaking to Lucy.
I was surprised I felt overwhelming. It's a big honour to receive the award. I never worked for any awards or honours, but I'm really, really pleased that my works has been recognized, and I hope I will use this platform to do more work that whatever I'm doing to making awareness of disability and inspiring other people to climb their own mountains, whatever that mountain is.
And do you think receiving the MBE will help to get your name out there even more and show even more people what disabled people can do?
I think so. I think it will it puts credibility and recognition that the people would able to would put little bit of weight and give me a platform to send messages about making awareness of this. Disabled people also can do anything as long as we want it. So hope that that way that more and more disabled people would able to do whatever they love to do. And there's many two things of making awareness of disability. One thing is people with a disability like myself, we need to believe that we can do something. But also, this is not just our problem. It's a problem of our families, problem for our friends, communities, society, and even the authorities, the country that we live in, so they can support us right away.
And how does getting the MBE compare to your other achievements? I imagine it's a different sort of feeling to climbing Mount Everest, but I mean, how does it compare?
I never thought that I will be receiving these awards, honor and awards. You know, it's great to be, getting recognized. But I think for me, is to rest of my life, I would like to make awareness of disability. That's my lifetime goal, lifetime mission. And hope doing that, I would able to give some hope and optimism in some other people, but maybe for some other people excel whatever they are doing, maybe go one step further and to achieve slightly more.
And do you know when you'll be collecting the MBE? Will you be get back in the UK at some point soon to pick up the honour?
Yes, my experience. So at the moment, it's nearly 3:30 in the morning. I've just arrived from the UK to do Denali, which is the highest mountain in North America. I'm trying to complete 7 summits, which is highest peak in all 7 continents. And I'll be back about after 4 weeks. It depends on when the expedition finishes. Whenever available, I hope that I'll be collecting some point in the future.
Others recognised include Margate artist Tracy Emin, who's being made a dame, and a volunteer police officer from Dartford who's getting a medal for 25 years of service.
Kent Online Sports.
Plenty of sports news for you, starting off unsurprisingly with football, and England have won their first group game at Euro 2024. And the man in charge of the Kent FA hopes they'll go on to inspire the next generation. Jude Bellingham scored the only goal of the game against Serbia last night. They'll face Denmark on Thursday, then the final group games against Slovenia next Tuesday. Well, I've been speaking to Daryl Hayden, who's the chief exec of the Kent FA.
It's a great opportunity to showcase the players that we've got. There's probably lots of youngsters around the county that are wanting to be the next Declan Rice or the next Harry Kane or next Phil Foden, and that's fantastic. And I think for us, it's about harnessing that and making sure that we can signpost those players that maybe not playing football into a football club, into a local football opportunity for them. And we've seen that growth, we've seen that happen with the female game, with the Lionesses, with their win in 2022, and we've had a massive growth in the female game off the back of that. I think around 45% increase of people playing football in the female game. So that's something that we want to kind of replicate in from this tournament. And you know, if people are young people want to play football, then great. I think it's also important that it's not just the young people that might be inspired by England in the Euros. We know we offer football from youth, male, men's football or adult football, but we go into walking football, we've got disability football, we've got veterans football. So there's lots of opportunity for people to play the game, not just the young people, but other people that may feel inspired by England at the Euros.
That's fabulous to hear. As far as the grassroots game is concerned, how healthy is it in Kent at the moment, would you say?
Really strong. We have around, I think, 4,300 teams. We have 757 clubs. About 70,000 people playing every week. So really, really healthy, really strong. We just want to continue to offer that opportunity for people that want to play the game to get involved. There's lots of clubs around the county that will cater for people that want to get involved in the game.
Absolutely. Coming back to England then, if you could choose a final, who would it be? England versus... Who would you like?
Oh, good question. you'd like to be an easy one, but I don't think there'd be an easy one when you get to the final. So I wouldn't be surprised if England-France is the final. I think the French are probably the team to beat. And also you probably can't write off Germany being the host nation. So, England-France final maybe. And 2-1 England.
2-1 England. So I was going to ask for your score prediction. So you're feeling very confident, because as a nation, we do, I don't know, we just seem to have experienced an awful lot of defeat. That it would be, I can't imagine what it would be like. It would be wonderful.
And I think as well, the state of the country at the moment, there's a little bit of negative feel. A good run for England in the championship and England progressing deep into the competition just raises the feel-good factor across the nation, right? So I think that's really important as well, that, you know, England put on good performances, everyone feels better, flags start waving, everyone feels a little bit more of a spring in their step, you know. So I think it's important for that aspect as well.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu's missed out on a chance to play in the final of the Nottingham Open. She was beaten by fellow Brit Katie Boulter, who went on to win the tournament yesterday evening. On to cricket, and Kent have suffered a heavy defeat to Gloucestershire in the T20 Blast. The Spitfires scored 125 runs at Canterbury yesterday, but the visitors beat them with 50 balls to spare. It's Kent's third loss in a row in the competition. They're currently second from bottom in the South Group table. And in rugby, Kent have made it back-to-back Division 1 titles. They beat Yorkshire in a thrilling 31-30 finish in the final of the Bill Beaumont Cup at Twickenham on Saturday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up for that, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.
It's nearly time for fun at Cossington Park Sports Centre. The family-friendly, inclusive pool and sports centre for Medway. Opening on Wednesday the 17th of July. With a brand new fun pool, wave machine and flume. Four-lane swimming pool and splash pool for little ones. Multi-purpose dance and fitness studio with children's party area. And a state-of-the-art gym. The countdown is on. Sign up to a membership and find out more at medway.gov.uk/Cossington Park.